line.
Well, we do, but let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Sam Pittman went to Arkansas the exact same time Mahoney came here.
Right.
He came in with, you know, under not so great circumstances. He's recruited his way out of Skipper and some of those other guys. If you're going to tell me about, you know, how we have freshmen, then I'm going to ask you, why isn't Brett Kendrick ready right now? You've had him for 2 years. Why isn't Marquise Pear ready? Why aren't these other guys ready? Because Jim Chaney and those guys, while they're not world beaters, their offensive line, you sure there are deficiencies, but by the same token, were we going to expect someone else like Drew Richmond, if he came to Tennessee, was he going to be the answer to Drew freshman next year?
But wait a second. These kids that they've drafted on off, or that were recruited on offense, were not recruited to play this system.
I mean, what do you mean system? This is a football game. A good coach takes what they have, a la Bruce Pearl. I'm sure Kendall's going to do the same thing. You find what you have, and you adapt to what they can do better. There's no way, I can't speak for the TV, but on the radio, the announcers kept saying over and over that our tackles, who Christian Lundy's been saying this for a long time, but our tackles cannot even touch their guys. Well, if that's the case, you certainly don't run long developing passes, and you certainly don't put your tailback 7 yards deep, you know, getting a handoff. They have no chance.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Who's up next with us? Hello.
It's Aaron. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Aaron. Welcome, man.
Yeah, Sean put it right on the head right there. You know, start the season, we had 4 new starters on the defensive line, but yet our defensive line is getting pressure on the quarterback. They're making plays. They're playing guys like Barnett and Hendricks, who are freshmen. And they're making plays in the SEC against SEC offensive linemen, against Oklahoma offensive linemen. And, you know, you see the defense being coached. You see the defense improving. You see guys like Williams and McNeil and Cam Sutton making plays. I mean, McNeil and Cam Sutton look like totally different players this year as opposed to in the years past. But yet, when I see that offensive line, you know, last year had 5 guys that are on NFL rosters and 4 guys who were drafted and a right tackle who was drafted in the first round. And it was the same old thing because, you know, it's the zone read run game blocking. I just don't know if Mahoney's that good of an offensive line coach. I mean, Sam Pittman has them running 5 yards a carry. Then Mahoney comes in and they look like they can't block. And, you know, the idea is, and Sean said it best just then, too, if you're a good coach, you come in, like Urban Meyer, he came in with Chris Lee. Chris Lee cannot run the football. Alex Smith could run the football. Tim Tebow could run the football. That's what, but Urban Meyer said, I've got Chris Lee. He's my senior. I want to mix in a little Tim Tebow, but I'm going with Chris Lee. And he won a national championship with him. Why? Because he coached the Chris Lee's strength. I just don't see this coaching staff coaching to this team's strength. If that means lining up in an I formation or, you know, throwing slant passes and quick out, I mean, we targeted Ethan Wolf once, twice, and he had 1 catch for 3 yards. I mean, I've never seen Jake in second, and if it's not second and 4 or second and 2, the Jake in is one of the worst play callers on second down. He can take a 2nd and 8 and turn it into 3rd and 13 so quick, it's not even funny.
Anybody, any thoughts on what this gentleman has said?
Well, I'd like to add something as well, and I think that, and I appreciate the fact that he's getting pummeled. I appreciate a lot of different things about Justin Worley. But I, you know, we talked about earlier in the year that he makes critical decisions at critical times that eat him up. And I'm going to say in 3 straight games, we have the intercept. At Oakland, we have the pick 6 on the goal line. We have whoever's fault it was. We have the handoff to Hurd in the end zone. And then we have an interception. Here's not only that. He throws an interception to North, I guess. He slips, et cetera. The next time we have the ball, they go straight to the same thing. And I can't speak to if it's the same play, but they go straight to the same thing. It was batted away. I just don't get it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it wasn't the same play. The first time was a post route when North slipped, and it helped that, you know, the Florida DB had his – I was watching at home on TV, so you got close-ups. And when you got Tobias Jesse Palmer even saying, well, it looks like he pushed North down, you know, but no, I'm not getting into the refs because we blew this game. And then the next one was a little fade route. And they weren't the same play, but, again, you're at the 16-yard line, it's first and 10, and you're taking shots to the end zone. I mean, try to establish the run. I don't know. I mean, I still don't understand. And, you know, I want to get off the Jakeian because it just makes me furious. I mean, we're 4 hours after the game, and I'm just still irate at the Jakeian and how pathetic. I mean, we saw it last year against Vanderbilt. We saw it against Oklahoma in that, you know, at the goal line. We've seen it against Georgia. We saw it against Georgia at times last year. We even saw it a little bit against Arkansas State and Utah State this year, but you overcome it because you're playing Mountain West and Sun Belt teams. But Jakeian, I know Butch Jones is loyal to him because he was his quarterback coach at Central Michigan when Butch Jones was offense coordinator, and he was his offense coordinator at Central Michigan and Cincinnati, and he's loyal to him. But Jakeian is a MAC offensive coordinator. That's what he is. And I'm not trying to be harsh on the guy, but sometimes in life you are what you are. I mean, you know, sometimes in life Derek Dooley is a video coordinator and a wide receiver coach that you just kind of set over to the side. You know, you are what you are. Gus Malzahn, Hugh Freeze, guys like that are winners. There's a reason Hugh Freeze took Ole Miss, who has 1-15 the previous 2 years in the SEC and coming off an 0-8 SEC team and 2-10 season, and he goes 6-6 and gets them to a bowl game in year one, playing in a tough SEC West against Auburn, Alabama's, LSU's. He does that because he's a winner and he's a good coach and he puts his team in position.
So wait a second here. Are you telling me that Butch Jones isn't a good coach? Is that what you're saying?
Tony, all I'm saying is I'm not going to take a shot at Butch Jones today after this game, but what I'm going to say is Butch Jones has not proven anything of his ability to win.
I understand.
He never won. At Cincinnati, he never could get over the hump of Louisville or Rutgers or teams like that. He just couldn't do it. And I'm just saying he's got to surround himself with an offensive coordinator who is an SEC offensive coordinator who could win in the SEC. That's all I'm saying. And if that means that he takes over the play calling and he does it himself, that's fine. But guys like Hugh Freeze, they have SEC caliber offensive coordinators, and they call plays in the tough times. Hugh Freeze takes over. Gus Malzahn is an SEC caliber offensive coordinator that calls his own plays as a head coach. If Butch Jones is fine, I mean, your head coach really just has to be a leader who has great staff around him. If you look at the Phil Fulmer era, Phil Fulmer was a good offensive coordinator, but his success was really when David Cutcliffe was there. You can talk about, well, this talent or that talent, but his ultimate success was when Cutcliffe, an SEC offensive coordinator, was around him. And that's just what it is. You're only going to succeed in this conference depending on your offensive and defensive coordinator. I mean, that's what it comes down to. As you guys have talked about, everybody in the SEC has talent. Ole Miss has talent. Alabama has talent. LSU, Auburn, Georgia, Florida. They all have talent because they're all top 10, top 12 recruiting classes. I think we're right now somewhere around 7 in the country next year, or for next year's recruiting class under some polls, but we're still 4th or 5th in the SEC. So we're going to have talent. These guys have got to be able to coach, and I just don't see it in Bajakian. I don't see it. It's unconventional wisdom. It's gimmicky MAC, American Athletic Conference, Conference USA top coaching that he calls. And it's just what I see. It's my opinion. And Butch Jones is going to have to make that hard decision to sit down and tell a friend, hey, you may need to be the quarterback coach and I'm going to take over play calling for the rest of the year. Or, you know, at the end of the year, I mean, I've got to go somewhere else in a different direction. I mean, also on the recruiting trail, we're having great recruiting. If you've noticed, You don't see the big-time offensive lineman coming here. You just don't see it. You don't see the big offensive lineman.
Sean, is that true? Is what he's saying, Sean, true? Sean Sinclair.
Respectfully, I'd have to disagree with that because the only guy that, you know, you could consider big-time if you want to do that is Drew Richmond. And there's I'm not saying I'm impropriety or anything like that. He's an hour away, et cetera. But, you know, the guys that he's in on right now, I mean, they're all fine prospects. I don't have an issue with that. In fact,
they're fine prospects, but you're not even landing the one guy. You know, Hugh Freeze went down there and he got the left tackle in year one at Ole Miss. Granted, he is out of the state of Mississippi, but he was recruiting against Auburn and LSU and everybody in the country.
Yeah, but they're also, but they're also under investigation right now, according to Yahoo Sports. So let's keep that in consideration. And when it comes to the Richmond thing, let's keep that in. You can get upset with me if you want, but those are facts. And here's another fact for you. Here's another fact. The kid that can't get on the field for us right now, because literally he hasn't been able to play so far in practice. He can't play. Well, he was the number one player rated in America coming out of the junior college ranks. So ratings aren't always what they're cracked up to be.
That's true, Tony. But when you're taking the number one JUCO player, a lot of times and I'm not criticizing JUCO guys, but there's a lot of times a reason why they're in junior college as opposed to at a university. And with the offensive line, you have to have intelligence. You're pretty much got to be the smartest guy on the field other than your quarterback and maybe middle linebackers and some of your safeties. And so you kind of got to be careful taking those JUCO offensive lines from an intelligence factor. But I'll let you guys go after this. I have one question. Can we not find guys that can give, that can cover a punt and block? Is there anyone else on that football team who can cover a kickoff besides Devron Young? Because if I see Devron Young, who is the Skylar McBee of this football team, get on the football field or touch the football again, I may lose it. I may honestly lose it. I may do destruction in my house or at the stadium. I don't understand why the guy's on the football field still.
Oh, that's hating. And you're out of here when you hate. You know? Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Hello to our next caller. Hello, who are you? Name and town. Hello.
DC in Athens, Georgia.
Hey, buddy, go ahead.
Hey, buddy, I'm headed back to Athens now and just been listening in. And, man, there's a lot of apples and oranges comparisons being made. Your cohort there comparing Bruce Pearl to Butch Jones and stuff, that's ridiculous. Basketball is a completely different animal than football. And, I mean, to even make a comparison about the two is utterly ridiculous, in my opinion. Also, to compare a defensive line and what they're able to do as freshmen to offensive line as freshmen is ridiculous. Defensive line is much more about instinct than it is anything else. Instinct, physicality, that kind of thing. Offensive line is all about physicality and intelligence and knowing the system. And being in the system and jailing and all of that. It's completely different. Would you agree with that, Tony?
Well, he's challenging what I said, so I'd like to respond.
Okay, go for it.
I think, respectfully, I think you took a lot of liberties with what I said in my comparison to Bruce Pearl. I did not say one was a good or the other. My comparison with Bruce Pearl had nothing to do with basketball or football. It was the fact that I said a quality coach can affect a game, a single game. And what I said was, at the end of 5 minutes of a game, Bruce Pearl had an unbelievable record of closing out a game. I didn't say anything about taking him to anywhere or comparing basketball and football. My comparison was that in 2 years with Butch Jones and Mike Bajakian, I have not seen them issue any kind of influence on a particular game. Now, I'm not talking about Oklahoma or something like that. I would think that you would agree that this was not only a winnable game, but a game that should have been won. Would that be fair?
I would agree 100% with that, yes.
Okay, and you have 9-0 going into the start of the fourth quarter, I would say there was a lot of meat left on the bone in those first three quarters of the game. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I do have a point to make on that, too. I just And I may have misunderstood the point you were trying to make about Bruce Pearl and comparing the two. And, so I may have made a mistake in that.
And the thing with, and what I'm trying to say is I don't think that, and here's where we have the perfect comparison is because you may be right, and let's just give it to you. You concede that you're right. Offensive and defensive line is different. There is. There's athletic ability versus cohesion, et cetera. But after what we've seen with a lot of the same players, there's no comparison with the performance of the defense right now with what it has been in the past several years. And I think that you have to give a lot of credit to the defensive coaches. I do not see a commiserate or a similar, if you will, affecting of a play of a game plan or anything like that. I think Worley is a better player than he was, but I still see some of the same mistakes. I see when I'm talking about, look, we're in the fifth game of the second year, and I'm seeing the same plays get the same results over and over. I'm not advocating a firing. I'm not advocating a demotion. What I'm only suggesting is you have to see what you have. My dad used to say all the time, an artisan or a craftsman never blames his tools. You have to take what you have and elevate it even just a little bit. And I'm not sure that even if you're honest, you can say this offense is being elevated even slightly.
But I know you keep saying in year two, but this year two has three true freshmen on the offensive line. And I saw those guys up close and personal. And when I saw them, I realized, oh my God, we're in trouble this year. Is it not three?
I think it's, now if you're going to count the tight end, you're right, but I'm not trying to split hairs with you, but.
Sure. But they're young. I mean, we can agree to that.
They are young, but let me ask you this. Next year, what is going to provide this Herculean jump in performance? You're going to either have true freshman or just a matriculation of the same offensive line, because there's not any true freshman coming in that's going to hurdle these guys. So what's going to change?
Yeah, trust me, man. I'm not sitting here trying to take up for Bajakian because the spread thing is driving me nuts as well. I guess when I look at it, one of the things that really is jumping off the page at me, and I don't know the stats, I'd have to go and figure it out, but I would love to know what our stats are in the red zone because they have got to be close to the bottom of the barrel, I would think. And that, to me, that kind of goes back to what you were talking about, is you get in that limited space, and at that point, the defense is even closer to these guys, and there's just very little you can do. And looking at the game today, too, man, Worley, I'm not going to beat him up, man. Sure enough, the other defensive lines do that enough. But there were many times where there were receivers running wide open all over that field. And so that's not on Bajakian. That's on Worley to find the receiver and put the ball to him. And, I mean, bottom line is it's just a mess on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't know, man.
You know what kills me? You know what, ATC, you know what kills me? Florida is no good. Florida will lose a bunch of games this year, right? They're terrible, right?
They suck.
And we let them beat us. And I hear what you're saying. Because I don't think there are any shortcuts here. But I also hear what Sean says. And I think you hear what Sean says too, in that at some point, show me when they're rushing with impunity up the field. Give me a double reverse.
Yeah.
Give me something. Yeah. Show me something. Show me something, right? I mean, isn't that the game plan?
I mean, we can all agree the offensive game plan was atrocious, but the execution of the game plan they had in play was not very good either. It really goes to everybody.
No, it was. Here's the thing. Everybody today did their job, with the exception of those on the offensive side of the ball. That stadium is crazy. The pregame was one of the most insane things I've ever seen. The atmosphere over there was incredible. I had somebody that was on my street team from New York help me, one of the young ladies who was handing out literature for me today, who said, Tony, I've never felt or been in a crowd like this. I've never seen anything like this. Now I know why people come to this. I said, hey, it is not this way every week, but it was really, really special there today, TC, and beautiful.
But, you know, they really took the crowd out of it in the second half.
Yes, they did, which is their job.
The crowd in the second half was gone.
But you know what? The crowd knew what you knew, what I knew, what Butch Jones knew. Boy, we're going to get swallowed up by these suckers again. The Florida Gators are going to chomp us up, and my mystical, magical powers are not going to help. Because they swallowed us whole, beating us 10-9. And we coached scared. Yeah. And that's, but we coached scared in the first half. We had a fourth down and two on the 37. When we should have taken, and we punted the ball there and only got 17 yards. Of course you go for it there. But then you turn around in the second half when you should swallow your damn ball and run it and kick it back to them until they score. And at that point, you're throwing. I mean, what the hell? That's stupid. Anybody knows that's stupid. I know that's stupid, and I know nothing about nothing.
Well, guys, I appreciate you doing this, Tony. It's helping me get back to Athens, man.
Love you, man.
Later.
See you, buddy. And Cinco didn't mean to come off strong there, but Cinco and you had a good conversation, and I jumped out of the way. It's pretty next level. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us. And Cinco, I like how you guys had a good conversation and you didn't try to yell over each other. It was well done by both of you.
Oh, thanks. And I just wanted to make sure that, first, I don't want to give the impression that I'm mad or that UT owed me something or they needed to take away 10 years of frustration. It's not. They don't owe me anything. My concern is, and it's not that he's Mr. Slogan or he's, you know, he wins everything in February, et cetera. Because the truth of the matter is you get nowhere in this league without talent.
Nope.
But however, everybody has talent. And you're not going to significantly overcome the teams ahead of you because, look, we're having some of the best years of our, you know, recruiting lives. And we're fourth in the SEC right now. So while we may be sixth or seventh, we're fourth in the conference. So that tells you that you have to be able to out-scheme, out-call, out-do something better than your opponent. And this Florida team is horrible. They're absolutely horrible. Georgia is average right now. They're very average. And I'm even talking about teams in the West. So I think Butch Jones, I'm not going to say that. I know Butch Jones is the guy. He recruits. He's unified the fan base. And you need all those things. But you just have to be able to somehow evaluate what you're doing, look at the results, and then make adjustments. Because all I'm really seeing is the same thing over and over, producing the same results. And I'm just not sure that's productive.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. This is a Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. We are heading up on, we came on the air at 3:30. As soon as the game went final today, and it's coming up on 8 o'clock Eastern time, which means we are working on a five-hour fan reaction with zero commercial breaks in the program today. Zero. That's 5 hours of talk, 5 hours of sitting here. Cinco will tell you, Cinco, how mind-numbing you think five straight hours of this is after that game?
Oh, I'm surprised we're not pulling guns out of our mouths right now.
It is so brutal. But to talk about it helps everybody get through it, and that's kind of what we're doing here.
Tony, let me add this, because I didn't see it, but everything I heard on the radio, and this was a national thing that I was listening to, so it wasn't biased towards Tennessee or against Tennessee. They were so complimentary of the fans, the experience. I have to figure that the way they described it, that the Checker Nealon thing came off well. How the place was packed, the third down, they were talking about that, et cetera. So you know what? The fans have continuously done their job. We did it 2 years ago when ESPN came in. I don't believe in curses. I don't believe in bad luck. I don't believe in any of that stuff. What I believe is in doing the job better than the other guy and getting the result. And I have to say that Butch Jones and the offensive staff laid an egg, and if that offends people or makes people mad or says I'm a
Negaball or whatever, I'll live with it. But I think if you're truly objective, that's a game you have to win, period.
Back to the phones we go. Let's grab our next caller. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way. Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. And welcome. Hello.
Hi, Tony. This is Sam calling from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Great. Good evening, Sam. Good to hear from you.
Hey, the first thing I'd like to do is just tell not only for myself but my family as well how much we appreciate the contribution you make to this community. And we all really enjoy the radio station in the Dalton Behring fifth quarter, and it's a lot of fun. It really adds to the excitement of Tennessee Saturday.
Well, I thank Russell, who sits in here with me. I thank on 94.3 FM, you can hear him in the afternoon. I thank Jason Swain, who you can hear. I thank my friends at RTI. I thank any of the myriad of people like Sean Sinclair and Bino who make this all possible. Vol Colonel, X. I just try to surround myself with excellent people. I've always believed in that. And try to create a forum in which people can shine. And I think we've done that. And then do a little good community on top of that, like with Fish Pantry, like we did this afternoon. Hey, you do those things. And you know what? The football team's going to come. And when they come, this is all going to be a lot more fun than it is right now. But you go right ahead, Sam.
Yeah, we got a great family here in East Tennessee. But I guess my contribution to the show tonight is, I'm a junior at UT, and I was sitting in the student section, and I got to say, I really truly believed that I was going to be on the field, running on the field today, and I was going to pick up my piece of Neyland Stadium turf, and I was going to hold it with me for the rest of my life as the 10 breaking the 9-year curse with Florida. And after just seeing the Ole Miss beating Alabama, and running on the field, seeing the students out there, I really truly believe that we would be out there, but I really do think Butch Jones is doing a great job and that the program's moving the right way. And, I one of the things that really, I think, gets unfair criticism is really Justin Worley. I think he really does do a great job, and he does a great job of managing the game. I know that one interception thrown off his back foot wasn't the best decision, but generally I think he really does a good job at managing the game and not causing any unnecessary turnovers. What do y'all think about that?
Jump in here, guys, and thank you so much, Sam, for being there. Really appreciate it, and I love your spirit, because you were not going to let the Gestapo today stop you. You were going to be the tip of the spear and let somebody else get to the goalpost. Maybe you'd get some sod, though, when you got billy clubbed on the back of the head. Russell, go ahead.
About Worley's play?
Yeah.
I have a problem putting it all on Worley. I mean, he was 16 of 19 passing at the half. I thought he played well. You know, he's just got to deal with so much pressure, more than any other quarterback in the country, probably. He's put in some bad spots.
Cinco?
I think he's doing as well as he can. I admire his what he's being put through right now and not saying a word about the lack of protection, because he's getting his ass kicked right now. There's no easy way to say that. If I was his parents, I'd be griping to Butch Jones. My only problem with Justin is when it comes to critical time, he seems to make a decision that he should regret. And Coach Majors used to have a saying, an opportunity lost is never regained. And, you know, there were a lot of times last year when he threw the balls into the end zone when they were intercepted. And so, but given that, I don't see how the guy doesn't have PTSD or something like that. I don't know how he
sleeps. It's terrible. I said earlier in the show, Sink, it's like you go hut one, hut two, hut three, and then in the back of your mind, you always hear him talk about the clock, one, two, three, out. And for him, it's one, two, three, brace yourself. One, two, three, crunch. One, two, three, hospital. One, two, three, car crash. You know what I mean? By the way, Auburn is on top of LSU 24-7, 13 minutes to go in the second quarter there, and Auburn is getting ready to blow them out everybody that's worried about Michigan hiring our coach, let me tell you something. The guy right there who's 61 years old is going to get out of there while the getting's good if he knows what's good for him. And John Chavis, when you're not surrounded by five stars, hey, everybody looks human. Everybody looks human. It's about players. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in here. We'll go about another 10 minutes, and then I'm really, really exhausted. Sorry about that. Smartway Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello, who's this?
This is Mark in Columbus.
Hey, Mark in Columbus. Welcome, man.
How you doing, man?
I've had better days.
I mean, you know, it's just the Vandy loss last year was unforgivable. This is pretty much unforgivable. That team that came in the Neyland Stadium day is probably the worst Florida team I've ever seen. It makes you long for the Ron Zook days. Let me throw something at you that I read today on with an Ohio State media guy. The quarterback for Ohio State this year is doing a pretty good job. Braxton Miller is supposedly going to graduate in December with 1 year eligibility left. Would he look good in Tennessee Orange next season?
I am big.
It'll
time.
Never happen. I know.
No. It might happen because I think Tennessee might go the fifth year route. When you looked at Nathan Peterman the other day, and you look at Josh Dobbs, no offense to him, and then you think about, hey, I'm in year three. Am I going to throw a true freshman quarterback out there and go 6-6 again? How patient are these people going to be with me? Butch Jones, sooner or later, has to go find himself a quick stopgap. I'm telling you, I was advocating that last offseason. I'm really advocating that this offseason.
There's a guy up at Eastern Washington, I think, who's a great dual threat player who might have the option to do that. Tennessee used to be all over.
There's a guy in the MAC too, and I can't remember his name, who Mike Huguenin has told me, Martin Columbus, maybe you know since you're in MAC country. He says there's a guy there that would be absolutely perfect for Tennessee's offense, that would absolutely flourish here in this system, whatever it is we call this system.
I mean, I don't think it'll, as far as Braxton Miller goes,
I kick the tires on him.
I mean, he's Urban did say he is the starting quarterback when he comes back, but that kid Rossi, his backup's playing very well. They put 50 up 3 weeks in a row. And if he graduates in December, that kid, I know he's a Big Ten player, but that kid can play. That kid's an athlete. He can hang on the field in the SEC.
Cinco, if you had a chance to add a piece like that, or even one of these guys from the MAC who could play and help you, would you do it, Cinco, at this point?
I think what I would do is I would try to figure out what system. I keep hearing this word system. I don't see a system. I would try to figure out what I want to do and then go recruit to that level of play or whatever. I mean, Dormady's not that guy. Dormady's a gunslinger. He is a little bit athletic, but he's a gunslinger. Or you got Juwan Jennings, who's a guy who's a very much an athlete, who had a nice game last week or 2 weeks ago, but he's certainly not a polished quarterback. But what we're doing right now is we are going out and we are getting highly skilled wide receivers, and we're trying to couple that with a quote unquote system that people think they understand what's going on. And not to say I do, but it's not translating. So if you're going to be like an Auburn, go get a quarterback or personnel like that. If you're going to be an aerial show, then go get that. But first and foremost, if you don't know what you are, how are you supposed to be effective? And I'm not sure Butch Jones knows what they are or what they're going to be.
This team next year, you're going to be lining up four NFL wide receivers. The quarterback just has to be confident, and they're going to be close to favored to win the East. You got to figure when this talent's going to mature. And I don't even see anything out of Peterman or Dobbs that leads me to believe that they're going to be confident. And I don't think a true freshman comes in there and is confident from day one. Just need somebody confident to throw the ball up in the air and let these guys go get it. There's four NFL wide receivers out there. Four of them. man, Marquez Norris is going to be All-American.
But that is, Mark, if, and back to Sean's point, that is if, in fact, that's what you want to do. Now, if you want to run the spread, you better go get yourself an athlete or let the kid from the mid-state play, give him the ball, see how it goes in camp. But again, if you decide that's what you're going to do and you get into camp, I'm telling you, Josh Dobbs is not a spread. He's not a spread option quarterback. You're not going to beat people that you need to beat with him playing. I mean, you're just not. He's okay as an athlete in this league, and we saw it today with our own eyes, Mark, when that big end from Florida ran down Hurd from behind. That's what you face in this league when you play the upper echelon teams. And that takes a special athlete to navigate those waters.
Well, that's the athlete we used to have in droves.
That's right. That's right. But playing this position, playing that quarterback position, though, you really have to have that athlete.
My next question is this. When does the honeymoon end for Jones? Because I find last year's Vanderbilt loss and this loss today to be totally, at some point, we got to look at performance here. He can say, we're building this thing and hang with us and all that, but that stadium was rocking today at noon. The fans have given this program way more than it's deserved over the past 5 years. And when do we get the return on our investment and our passion? That's what I want to know. I mean, when do you see it becomes must-win time for Jones?
2 years is must-win time. And really, 3 years will be must-win time. So until then, patience are a virtue. Team will probably win 8 games next year, I would say. Sight unseen, just all things considered. Another recruiting class. Offensively, they should be kind of tough to watch unless they alter the way they do things, and they might do that. They might say, hey, we need to do what Sean Sinclair said, and let's figure out who we are in the offseason. Let's look in the mirror here.
You need to stop losing these games that you should win. He's right about Vanderbilt last year. That's a
yep.
game you should have won.
Absolutely.
Today was a game you should have won.
Absolutely.
The South Carolina win was nice, and it, you know, ingratiates yourself to the fans, but you just can't go out on a day like today and lay an egg.
Honeymoon questions in the eye of the beholder.
I think it's over today.
Do you really?
Yeah, and I don't
think it's
in
the eye of the beholder. That's not a bad thing, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't mean that we fire Butch Jones.
It means you quit worshiping
him. It
means you quit worshiping him.
It's time to win.
Not now, though. Is it time to win now?
It's time to win the games that you're supposed to win.
And what are those? What are the games? Let me ask you this.
Don't expect to win at Ole Miss.
Okay, that's right.
Don't expect them to win at Alabama.
Right.
Against Alabama. Don't really expect them to win against South Carolina.
Okay.
But you need to beat Vanderbilt and Kentucky this year.
What about Missouri? Because that's the game you got to get to win the ball, to go to bowl game.
Right now, I don't know.
I don't think they know, but I'm going to tell you this. That's an uphill struggle. People that are counting that as a win, that's an uphill climb.
Sure.
Beating them in our building. Mark, I think it's in the eye of the beholder, but I really do appreciate your phone call, and I hope you have yourself a great day.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, thank you, man. Good talking to you. Cinco, appreciate you, man.
Can I answer the honeymoon question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not sure what your definition of the honeymoon is. My definition would mean during which period you're beyond reproach, meaning no matter what happens, you get the benefit of the doubt. And, so I'm going to agree with Russell on this one. I think after this game, I'm not saying anyone's on notice. You need to do this. You need to do that. I don't think so. But I think given this performance today, that I believe that he's now deserving of any scrutiny that comes his way. And I don't think that's unfair. This is, you know what? This is an unforgiving league. This is an unforgiving, area of the country. And so is every other program in the SEC. You're compensated for that. You're given resources for that, et cetera. We all understand the limitations we have right now. But this game was not won by Florida. This game was lost by Tennessee.
And if you heard the remarks of what's his face, Muschamp afterwards about, you know, quote unquote, you know, it's nice to see all those people go home disappointed. That guy knows he walked out of there with a game he didn't deserve to win. And frankly, I think he also knows he's getting fired. So that's where I'm going to leave it. My guy. I think he really needs to take a look at what's going on around him. Go Vols, and thanks for having me, Tom.
Cinco, thank you.
And we've seen 17 games now of the Butch Jones coached football here at University of Tennessee. And granted, it's still, the program's young, and I'm not casting any sweeping judgments one way or the other, but we can start to formulate some general opinions about him as a coach at Tennessee at this point. I mean, we're starting to see some patterns emerge. Some of them are highly encouraging. The recruiting is great. The way he gets his team emotionally invested and ready to play is great. But we're also seeing some things in terms of game management on the sideline, decisions, play calling, that I think it's fair that we can start questioning.
But, and this is a big but, you have to consider that Lloyd's of London has refused to insure Justin Worley this year against future injury, and they even insure Evel Knievel.
Oh, bad. Well, what are we saying for Justin Worley's next stunt? Is he going to try and jump this?
What do you do? Like, seriously, when you start 12 games behind this offensive line, what do you do for your next trick?
He's going to be jumping the fountains at Caesar's Palace here during the off week.
Maybe you get... Or you get with that guy that called in earlier who said his dad burned all of his Tennessee possessions, but his Tennessee bowling ball wouldn't burn. Maybe you jump into the pit with the bowling ball while they're trying to light it on fire. Dubsy, promote your program on the way out here.
Yeah, check me out weekdays, Monday through Friday on 94.3 FM here in Knoxville, Knox Talk Radio, from 3 to 6. You can listen online at knoxtalkradio.com or the free Knox Talk Radio app. And be sure to follow me on Twitter, at RussellWNFC, two S's, two L's.
I want to thank everybody who participated in the show today, and especially those that didn't, like Jerry Colquitt. Jerry, thank you for not appearing today. I want to thank everybody that was a part of our Fish Hospitality tailgate show today. Absolutely incredible. Russell, this is... you're a guy that kind of started in the business under me, and you're successful anyway, which speaks volumes for you. But, man, I really appreciate what you do, your spirit. You've got a young family, yet you come here. You're dedicated to your craft, to what you do. It's great to sit across from you, man, on Saturday. It kind of makes my night.
Well, I appreciate it.
I'm getting gushy on you, brother.
Oh, thanks for having me and let me be a part of it.
For everybody behind the scenes, for Matt Nelson today for slamming down the clipboard and walking out. Matt, I love your passion. I appreciate the fact that you live this.
Is that true? Was he really here and he just stormed
yeah.
out?
Yeah.
He was just kinda, so like mad.
Yeah. In case you haven't heard, my call screener, because I started today's show and explained how we weren't screening calls tonight, my call screener... We generally will just greet people. We don't ask you what you want to talk about, and is your call good enough, and all that nonsense. We put everybody on, as you can tell. I mean, Jamie gets through. And so when we do that, Jamie, I'm kidding. I kid because I don't care. But when we do that, because we just want you to have a good start, you know, a positive start to your phone call. And we were watching the end of the game today, and when he threw that interception, when Willie threw that interception, he was so hot that we didn't run the ball. He said, I'm not doing this. I'm not this Florida thing. I'm not doing it. I'm just not participating. I'm not participating. Barney boy, I want to say that Mark in Texas has voted Barney boy our most valuable caller. You're the MVC.
That was phenomenal.
Barney boy.
He brought it strong.
First of all, because your name is sort of a takeoff of Briny Boy, who's a legend in his own mind himself. And Barney Boy, thank you. You're our MVC. Jamie, you're the biggest clown caller of the night, of the week, of the month. and you know, you're the prophet. The prophet Jamie has spoken. I must go to sleep now. I will mix drugs and alcohol at night in honor of this. In honor of today, I want to thank my sponsors, Smart Way, always the Smart Way. Check them out at the 8,000 block of Kingston Pike. I also want to thank my friends at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. And Dubsy, what would you like to hear? What do you think we should kick here? If you want to come over and pick a show out.
Oh my goodness.
Come over and pick a show. From the music library here. Let's see what we have. I'll dial this up. Okay. Dubsy, this is,
wow.
That's alphabetical. So you go ahead and scroll down there. There's about 5,000 shows. 5,000 concerts we have.
A little hot tuna.
Mofro. We've got some,
how about some James Taylor?
Bottle Rockets. How about some James Taylor?
I need
Taylor.
To go fire up a big doobie and listen to some JT.
All right.
After today.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw you up a show that kind of makes me cry. Features a little James Taylor. That's some good music for a night like tonight. I would have to say that's, you've got a good beat and you can dance to it. And in honor of our offense right now, I am not executing very well here, but we're going to take you back to 1976. This is a show that features Danny Cooch Korchmar. It also features the one, the only David Sanborn on saxophone. This is one of my all-time favorite great James Taylor, because he plays a bunch of songs from his JT release, which in my opinion is the best James Taylor of them all. Incredible. Even does a traffic jam for you. Let's hear it. A little James Taylor here, ladies and gentlemen. Take it away, JT.
Like me, and I wish that I was there.
I'm a lonely lighthouse, not a ship out in the night. I'm watching the sea, but she's come halfway around the world to see your light and to stay away from me. There is a shipwreck lying at my feet, some weary refugee from the rolling deep. How could you lose it all and fall for me? I'm rolling all my golden moments into one, like the shine, like the sun, one more summer day. Shine like a lighthouse, one last summer night. Flashing on, flashing on, fading away. Now if you feel lost and lonely and don't know where to go, and you hear this song on the radio, or even if you're feeling healthy and strong, you might like to sing along now. But just because I might be standing here now, and I won't be wrong this time. You could lose it all and lose your mind. I'm rolling all my golden moments into one. Like a shine like the sun. One more summer day. Shine like a lighthouse. One last summer night. Flashing on, flashing on. Fading away. Off he goes of Africa. Bound for South America, a world away from here. Is a ship that sails the sea. It's a man who's just like me. And I wish that I was holding all my golden moments in the one. It would shine like the sun. One for summer day. Like a lighthouse. One last summer night.
To Niagara. It was our honeymoon. Oh, Carly. Carly's not here. She's at home, I'm afraid. She asked me to send her regards to all of you, though. Any message I can take her, I'll be seeing her tomorrow. Okay, I'll tell her that. I'm tuning my guitar. This is David Lindley, himself help. David and I are going to do a tune called Riding on a Railroad now. If you just sit calmly, your prescription should be ready in no time.
Someone else's song. And we've been standing for down by the crossroads. Take your side and step along. And we've been sailing away up on a river to the sea. Friday. But there's a man up here, he claims to have his hands upon the reins. And there are chains upon his hands, and the man's been riding upon a train. Oh Lord, we've been riding upon a rail. Take your side and step along, and you can sail on a way upon a river to the sea. And maybe you and me will meet again. We've been riding, riding upon a railroad, singing someone else's song.
Sang before an audience before.
The secret of life is enjoying the passage of time. Any fool. Nobody knows how we got to the top of the hill, but since we're on our way down, we might as well enjoy the ride. Secret of love is in opening up your heart. It's okay to feel afraid, but don't let that stand in your way. 'Cause anyone knows that love is the only road. And since we're only here for a while, we might as well show some style. Give us a smile, isn't it a lovely ride? Sliding down, try not to try too hard, it's a lovely ride. Isn't it a lovely ride? I'd be gliding down. Try not to try too hard. It's just a lovely ride. Now the secret of life is enjoying the passage of time. Any fool can do it. Ain't nothing to it. Nobody knows how we got to the top of the hill, but since we're on our way down, mine is